All right, William read the scripture from Luke chapter 11, verses 2 through 4. Say it with me again, would you? Let's quote it together. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. It's kind of familiar, and you're probably saying, well, where's the rest of it? Well, this is Dr. Luke's writing of the Lord's Prayer. Matthew writes a little bit longer version. But that phrase, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. We're going to focus on this again. Last week, Glenn spoke just a powerful message on this topic of forgiveness, but I want to carry it along again and deal with just more. We need... This is the lifeblood of the gospel. When you read the Bible, forgiveness is the central theme. From the very beginning, when man and woman sinned against God, the very first thing that occurred was forgiveness. God called them out of their shame and then covered them with His grace. Literally, He called them out of the bushes naked and He clothed them with a sacrifice, the skin of a sacrifice. And then Jesus again came and He forgave as He came up the cross and shed His blood for us. And in our future, we'll see Jesus face to face, and that forgiveness will be complete as our reconciliation is perfect. Forgiveness is the lifeblood of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we all have experienced the need to forgive. Sometimes the need to forgive ourselves, sometimes to cry out to God and ask Him to forgive us. And certainly the need to forgive one another. When Glenn talked last week out of Matthew chapter 18, he told the parable of the unmerciful servant, the one who owed such a tremendous debt and then turned around and would not forgive a smaller debt. And in case you missed it, we are that guy. That's us. We're the ones who, after Jesus Christ has forgiven us all of our sin, past, present, and future, that we then will hold on to an action that has offended us. Now, don't get me wrong, that those sins against you, no doubt, were horrible. Maybe murders, maybe rapes, maybe incredible thefts, maybe abuses as a child. By no means, by that statement, do I intend to make your situation light. But I can tell you this, that Jesus Christ bore the sins of the world. Every single person who's ever breathed breath on this earth, He took that sin with Him onto the cross. I think I can say accurately that my pain, your pain, no matter how great it is, it truly is a small amount in comparison to what Jesus took. We are that person. So today I want to deal with, after you heard last week's message, I want to deal with the yeah buts or the whatabouts. Because I know there's tons. I've already received a couple of bits of communication from two or three people. Say, Pastor, but I've got this question. I heard last week's message. But what about? But I understand. But yeah, but. So let's deal with those today. And then at the very end, I want to walk you through a process that will help you on your daily process in forgiving. And I know we all need it. So first of all, forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Let's remind ourselves, it's canceling a debt. The word forgiveness is an accounting term, in reality meaning to cancel the debt. You owed something and it's been canceled. It's akin to that is releasing someone from your personal judgment. You've offended me. I'm no longer going to hold that against you. Doesn't change the offense. Doesn't mean the offense is just forgotten. It means that you're no longer going to hold that against that person. So I think maybe it might be easier to take a few moments to discuss what forgiveness is not and then what forgiveness is and then walk you through a process. So what forgiveness is not? Forgiveness is not forgetting what happened. Have you ever tried to forget something? Here's what I know. The very certain way that you're going to remember something is to try to forget it. You can't forget it. You'll never forget it. You'll never forget the offense that was done. You'll never forget that hurt that you felt. You'll never forget the trust that was broken. But I think that the lack of forgetting makes forgiveness even more powerful. For it's not forgetting and then it's just gone. But that's your awareness of it, but you choose to forgive it. You choose to walk in that daily forgiveness. There truly is no such thing as forgetting. So if you struggle with, but I just can't forget it, that's okay. That doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. It means that we just simply continue to forgive each and every moment when that pain resurfaces in our mind. Number two, forgiveness isn't minimizing the seriousness of the offense. It's not saying, oh, that's okay. Oh, it's no big deal. And I know I've said that. Someone has offended me, said, ah, don't worry about it. But inside, I'm worried about it. Anybody else been there? You try to minimize it. And you think minimizing it is really doing the godly thing. That letting the person off the hook and they're like, oh, it really didn't hurt, is somehow being the bigger person. It's basically telling yourself a lie. It is a big deal. Do you think the offense wasn't a big deal when Jesus was on the cross? When he cried out, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? It was a big deal. Some of the things you face are tremendously painful. Forgiving is not minimizing that. Forgiveness is telling the truth about it and then choosing to cancel the debt, to not hold that person in your judgment. Number three, forgiveness isn't conditional. Well, I'll forgive the person if they're really nice to me later. I'll forgive the person if they pay me back with interest. I'll forgive the person if they make all kinds of promises never to do it again, and we make a contract. No, forgiveness is not conditional at all, because forgiveness really isn't a interaction between two people. It can be, and reconciliation certainly is, but forgiveness in its outset is simply what you do in your heart. When Jesus hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing, there were no conditions placed on anybody for him to say that. He released people, and then it was people's decision whether or not to receive that forgiveness and then enter into reconciliation. When Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, for God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There was no condition there. They didn't even come and ask. Jesus simply forgave. What happens in your own heart? Forgiveness is not a transaction. It's your personal decision. Number four, forgiveness doesn't require you to restore trust and resume the relationship. This is a real important one. Trust and forgiveness are not the same thing. You can forgive someone and yet still not trust them. How does that work? Do you realize that in the Gospels, Jesus said he did not entrust himself to people because he knew it was in the hearts of people? Now, he loved them, he forgave them, but he didn't trust them because he knew it was in their heart. So this should free you. Say, if you're a person who's been under tremendous abuse and you've separated yourself from that abuse, and now you think that in order to forgive, you've got to then put yourself back in that abusive situation. You don't. You don't. You can forgive, and that releases your heart from holding them in condemnation. But you need not place yourself in that position again. You can truly say, I don't judge you, but I also don't trust you. Hopefully in time, God would allow you to have a relationship that grows and grows and grows until the trust can be restored. But forgiveness truly will release you in your heart to not have a grudge or hold bitterness. Number five, forgiveness doesn't require the other person to ask for it before you give it. Very similar to the unconditional part. There was the man who was the paralytic, and his four friends tore the hole in the roof and lowered him down so that Jesus could touch him and heal him. And Jesus' first words weren't, "You are healed." His first words were, "Your sins are forgiven." A strange thing to say to a person who can't walk, but he did it purposely in front of all those who were listening, in front of the religious leaders, and it was on the Sabbath. And they were indignant about him, saying, "Who is this man who forgives sins?" And then Jesus replies, "Is it easier to forgive sins or to heal him?" And then he healed him. How could Jesus forgive his sins without him being asked? Because you see, the transaction was in the heart of the forgiver beforehand. And then the man's faith and the friend's faith that lowered him down was the evidence that they trusted the one who could touch him. Not only touch his body, but to touch his soul. And he walked out of that place, both healed in body and healed in his soul. Number six, forgiveness can't be given if you are not the one offended. I bring this one up because it's become popular in our culture to ask for forgiveness of things that we never did. And it comes out a lot with the current movement of reparations because of the horrible slavery that occurred back in the 1800s and then some of the behaviors that moved on through the decades. And a lot of people today are asking people of color to forgive them for things they never did. And they're asking forgiveness of things of people that never happened to them. I don't have a right to forgive someone when I wasn't the one offended. If you're the offended one, it is your responsibility to forgive that person, not mine. So I think it's important for us to understand that. So those are a lot of things that forgiveness is not. And I hope those are clear. Let me now go to what forgiveness is. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is releasing the other person from my debt. That's what we said in the outset. It's an accounting term. Jesus said when he was on the cross, "It is finished." That is also an accounting term. That means paid in full. Jesus, when he hung on the cross, cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And then he bowed his head and said, "It is finished. I paid in full." In that moment, he released us from every single thing we would ever do. He released the people that would even offend you. He released me when I offend you. And he released us when we offend God. Aren't you thankful that God released you? And now, like the parable of Matthew 18, it's our responsibility to forgive others and to release them in our hearts. And he said that before I even asked. That gives me confidence to go to him. I can go to God anytime, at any place, for any reason, and be honest with him, and cry out to him, and ask him to forgive me, and I know he will. The reason I know he will, because he already did. He already said it is finished. And he's not pulling that back. And not allowing me to call on him. That's in John chapter 19, verse 30. You see, forgiveness is really about your heart. Unforgiveness is like locking yourself in a prison, thinking that you're going to punish someone else. Most of the time, much of the time, the other person doesn't even know that you're offended. But yet you hold on to it. And it's in there, and it's ugly, and it churns, and it's just bitter. And it just brings all kinds of inside of your life. And the other person is walking around as if nothing happened. You're in the prison, not them. Why not release yourself by forgiving and canceling the debt, releasing them and releasing yourself? Number two, forgiveness is cutting off all ties of bitterness between me and the one who offended me. I want you to say this verse together. This is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 and 16. Say it with me, would you? "See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." I wanted you to read that verse with me for those last couple of words. Isn't it powerful? That no bitter root grows up inside of you. Why? Because it will cause trouble and defile many people. Isn't it fascinating that your unforgiveness, that ugliness in your heart that refuses to forgive, even though Jesus has forgiven you so much, won't stay only with you. It's going like a ripple effect to touch other people. It's going to cause trouble, and it's going to defile many people. If I allow that bitter root to grow up inside of me, you know what will happen? I will become a bitter person. As I am a bitter person, the people I come in contact with are going to feel the effects of my bitterness. What is my home life going to look like when I'm bitter and ugly inside? When I'm a walking just ball of negativity? What are my children going to grow up like if their father is bitter and negative and finding fault and critical? And it's because I've got that inside. I've allowed it to take root inside of me, and now it's spilling out like a rampant disease, like a contagious disease, and I'm just spreading it all over to the people around me. That bitter root doesn't just stay inside. It affects other people. It causes trouble and defiles many. That worries me, because I've held bitterness in my heart before. I've thought about that and said, oh God, who might I have passed on my negativity? Who might I have caused to become, caused to catch the sickness of my bitterness? That unforgiveness also causes a perpetual tie to the person that I won't forgive. That bitterness keeps me linked to the person. I've had unforgiveness in my life. It's too long of stories to tell you this morning. But what I found occurring in my life is that not only did I hold on to it for years, but I also would attach my bitterness to anyone who reminded me of the person who offended me. Anyone who had the appearance of the one who offended me. Anyone who had the same, you know, just personality or makeup of the one who offended me. I remember having a bitterness towards someone as a female. And when Sandra and I were talking about names to name our potential daughters, I remember the conversation saying, this name will not be heard on that child. Because when I hear that name, I get mad. Anybody else with me here? You attach it. And isn't it a sad thing to walk around attached to an offender or an offense that's bitter? God wants to sever that. Not so that we can just say, well, forget you. Get out of my life. I don't ever want to think about you again. But at least, first of all, to not walk around with that bitter root that causes trouble and defiles many. But instead to release it. And then maybe, Lord willing, there could be the opportunity for a reconciliation at some time down the road. Someone has said that unforgiveness is like drinking poison, hoping you'll kill the other person. That's so true. Why drink the poison of bitterness? Number three, forgiveness is relinquishing my right to get even and responding with kindness. Can I just say right now, I don't like these verses. Anybody else like them? I don't like them. Because I don't want to do kind to people that have hurt me. Here's what the verse says in Romans 12, 18 to 21. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary. I hate when he says this. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Oh, God. Seriously? Okay, Lord. You said it is yours to avenge, you will repay. Okay, get them good then. Get them good. Hurt them. Put them in the hottest part of hell when they die. Come on, am I the only one here? You're going to avenge them, Lord.
Get him. Sick him. God's the eternal heavenly pit bull. Get him, God.
What kind of, is that what Jesus was thinking when he said, Father, forgive them? Didn't he include them when he said it is finished? If I act like that, I'm the man of Matthew 18. Thank you for giving me, God, but get him, punish him, hurt him. This takes work. This one takes work. That when the opportunity would arise, it's not vengeance that we seek, but it's blessing. God, save them. Heal them. They must have been truly hurting deeply for them to do something so offensive. They must have been truly, truly just broken for them to behave that way against me. God, heal their brokenness. Help me not to relish eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. Sometimes I want to go back to that law. Someone strikes you, strike them back. Hurt them. But Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile. Because everybody in the, every pagan, every non-believer is cool with eye for an eye. But you show yourself children of my Father when you don't act like the rest of the world, but instead you act like the Son, Jesus Christ. But then number four, repeating the process as often as necessary. Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. And for those of you that are doing the math, it doesn't mean 490. But when you hit 491, all bets are off. That's 70 times seven, by the way. And you might think to yourself, well, if I get sinned against 490 times, then I can understand that. No, maybe it's one offense that comes back into your mind that many times. Maybe it's a single offense that you just can't shake. And you need to forgive it again, and forgive it again, and forgive it again. Because they may not have committed it a second time, but in your heart, you're reliving it a second time. And you're reliving it a third, and a fourth, and on and on and on. I know you've been there. I've been there. Forgive again. Forgive again. Forgive again. Well, let me walk you through some steps. How to forgive. This is really important. These are truths that I'm applying to my own life, and I hope and pray that you can apply it to yours. They all depend on three very crucial principles: confession, repentance, and transformation. It's important that you know these, and you'll hear a lot about these in the next couple of weeks. Confession, meaning just simply tell the truth. Tell the truth. Say, Pastor, I didn't do anything wrong. Why do I have to confess? Because it's not about you, about what you did wrong. It's about confessing how you feel and what is true. Repentance. Say, well, I didn't sin against them. Why do I need to repent? Repentance isn't always about something you did wrong. Repentance is simply changing your thinking. You change your thinking about what happened, and then the transformation, what you're going to do with the new thinking that you now have. So we tell the truth, we learn some new thoughts, and then we act upon the new thoughts that we have. Does that make sense? Okay, with that in mind now, I want to walk you through these steps. I'm going to do that fairly quickly, and then I want us to practice them live and in color right here as we linger a bit before our lunch and before the business meeting. First of all, step one, Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's a verse we need to pray when we start our process of forgiveness. Lord, there are some things I know full well that I've got in me that are bitter roots. Other things you may not. There may be other things that have hindered you or that have held you in a place of stagnation spiritually that you need God to open up your heart and open up your mind. Maybe prejudices, or maybe just thoughts that are not godly thoughts. And you pray this prayer. And David wrote, he said, search me, God. You know my heart. I don't even know my heart, but you do. Search me, God, and bring to the surface anything that may be wrong inside. And as you pray, see Jesus' face and ask him to bring those things to light. Number two, ask God to bring to mind anyone you need to forgive and note their offense. God, this person, and you have a name, and you name them, Lord, such and such, so and so, did this to me. They said these words, they acted this way, they broke my trust, and here's what they did. It's important to name it. How can you forgive something that's vague? Name it. This is confession. Be truthful. Be truthful. Number three, confess your truth to God and ask God to reveal the wrong beliefs that have developed. When Ethan and Chanson talked, they talked about some wrong beliefs about not being enough. And as you recall the name, Lord, this person, the name, did this to me. And when they did this to me, it made me feel helpless. It made me feel like a victim. It made me feel like no one cared. It made me feel stupid. It made me feel foolish. And now I'm bitter. Now I'm angry. Now I wish I could strike back. Confess it. You follow? Confess. Tell the truth. God can always work with truth. It's the hiding that he can't work with. Adam and Eve could not be covered with God's wonderful, forgiving, sacrificial covering until they came out of the bushes and they showed themselves to the Lord. When we tell the truth, then he can come and then he can touch us. Number four, ask the Lord to replace your false thoughts with his truth. This is the repentance, starting to think differently. Because we don't know what to think. God knows. I love how Ethan put it. He's heard it before from his mom, from his dad, from other people. You're good, you're good, you're good. But sometimes it's hard to believe people. Sometimes even when it's from your closest loved ones. So yeah, you're supposed to say that. You're my dad. You're supposed to say that. You're my mom. You're supposed to say that. You're the pastor. You're supposed to say that. You're my friend. We need to hear God say it. And as we pray, ask God to tell us, Lord, what do you want me to know about how I'm feeling and about this situation? What do you want me to know about how stupid I feel, how hopeless I feel, how just broken I feel, how hurt I feel? What do you want me to know? Ask him. And ask him to replace those false thoughts, because you're not hopeless. You're not helpless. You're not a fool. You're not too weak. You're not not enough. That's how you feel, but that's not who you are. Who you are is God says, who God says you are. And as you pray, ask God to now give you different thoughts. That's the great exchange. God, I'm exchanging the old thoughts that are not true with the new thoughts that are true. And that only comes from him. Ask him. And ask him to exchange those thoughts. Change your thinking experience. Number five, then, receive with gratitude those new thoughts. Receive them. Sometimes when somebody tells us something, we don't want to receive it. Nah. Thanks, but nah. You think that's not true? Peter did that twice in the scriptures. When Jesus multiplied the fish in Peter's nets, when he let down for the catch, Jesus said, come on, Peter. He says, no, go away from me. I'm a sinful man. Jesus said, Peter, come, be with me. And then at the washing of the feet, Jesus is ready to wash him. And Peter says, you're not going to wash me. You can't wash my feet. Peter, unless I wash you, you can be no part of me. We have to receive what Jesus says. When he says who you are, you have to receive that and say, that's who I am. And I don't know what he's going to tell you.
I don't know what he's going to tell you. I hope and pray that as you pray, God will, and I know he will talk to you, because God's talking all the time. But I hope and pray you'll not allow the enemy to swoop in there and cut that off, but you'll receive it. Because you are enough. You are loved. You are precious. You are not hopeless. You have not sinned too many times for him to reject you. You are not a castaway. You are not a disappointment. You're beloved. Listen to God and receive. As you receive it then, receive God's forgiveness for the person who offended you. Receive his forgiveness for them. And number six, pray a blessing on that offender. It's a tough one, I know, especially for some of your things that you've gone through. But pray a blessing. Hey, God, I know I'm broken and I know they're broken, but you've healed me. I know you can heal them too. Like a Saul character who killed Christians. And yet Jesus redeemed him, restored him, and he became a champion. Could God not do the same for the people that have offended you? Number seven, receive what he is showing you with gratitude and then pronounce forgiveness on the person. Allow Jesus to cut that tie. Maybe you can even visualize that as you see that chain that's got you connected with him, and he comes in with his divine Holy Spirit bolt cutters and he just snaps that. Let him give you a picture of him severing that tie. And as he does, pray for the healing in your heart and in the heart of the offender. That's number eight. And then number nine, repeat as necessary. Just walk through that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Those first few words, bear with one another. Bearing with one another is not easy. Bearing with one another is as if it's a burden. This is not a cakewalk. This is not simple, the 1, 2, 3, steps to a joyous Christian life. This is real work. But the work is to believe that our Lord and Savior can help you forgive the deepest and most hurtful, deeply rooted things in your life. So, Lord, I pray that you will help me bear with the person and to forgive the grievance because you forgave me. I want to pray, and then it's a little after, about 21 after. I want us to take a few minutes, Pastor Sean, if you could come. And I know that it's easy to teach this and then have you walk away and then just forget. I know, because I've done that. Monday comes and you forget. Tuesday comes, it's long gone. Wednesday comes and I don't even remember what I preached last Sunday. Let's do it now. Let's do it now and start the process. Keep those notes in front of you, especially those 9 steps. And we're going to take some time. Of course, if you've got to go, if there's something that's really pressing that you need to do, no judgment. But I hope you'll linger a little bit today. Here's what I know. Every single one of us has had something at some point that you've needed to forgive. Now, maybe you've already walked through that, and you can honestly say before the Lord, I'm good. I am good. There is no one in my life. Well, then stay and linger for those that might still be struggling, or stay and linger for that which may come in a week from now. That the Lord would strengthen your heart and your spirit to give you that ability when time does come. But let's seek God. Let's begin to receive his wonderful, beautiful freedom as we forgive, as he forgave. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would help each one of us. I know that some of us have very, very deep wounds. And they're even afraid
of asking you to forgive. Because they're afraid, like Jonah, that you're going to have grace on those people and they're going to get off scot-free. Lord, I pray that you would sever that bitterness, that root that causes trouble and defiles many. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would cause us to see the prison that we're putting ourselves in by unforgiveness. And that in Jesus' name, you would help us, even this morning, to have freedom. And let the freedom, the truth, truly set us free. Lord, if there is someone this morning that doesn't yet know you as their Savior, I pray that they would understand that you are the great forgiver and that they can come to you right now and just simply say, Father, I believe in you. I ask you to forgive me of all the things I've done wrong, all my sin, and I ask you to come into my life. It's that simple. It's that easy. A step of faith, a step toward reconciliation, and you will run to us. Father, in Jesus' name, speak to us this morning. We want to be free in Jesus' name. Let's pray. If you have something in particular that you want to pray for, that a couple of the elders will be at each corner of the sanctuary, you can get up and ask them to pray with you. But let's linger and let's seek God for his forgiving touch.
There we go. I'm going to sing a chorus. As you're continuing, please, if the Lord is working with you, continue. He is the priority. But I'd like to, we're going to sing and just have an opportunity to respond right now. And for those who are members, just to remember, don't head out of here, because we have dinner or a lunch planned and an opportunity to celebrate what God's done as we go through our annual business meeting. But if you are still needing and desiring just to be with the Lord and seek Him, let us rush you. There will be time. If you'd sing this with me, those who have already received. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We cannot love our enemies if we don't start with forgiveness. So help us, God, to take that first step, to begin to forgive, release debts. Allow your Spirit to flow through us. God, give us the courage to do it. Give us the strength to do it, Lord. For some, this might be so difficult. But Lord, you can. You know what that feels like. Show us, God, how to forgive. And let that life come back in us. Joy and love and peace that you bring. And that we would go from this place fully restored and ready to continue to receive from you, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.